The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Hello, welcome along to this week's episode of the Let's Get Running podcast. How is the Caramel Kid?
Caramel Kid is good.
Is he slightly sorrowful after England's exit from the World Cup?
Slightly deflated.
Deflated, yeah. What a day. I mean, it's the we'll be recording here on Friday morning, and it's you look back and you think it was so close. These little things, they just hinge on little moments, don't they, where it could have gone our way and didn't or whatever else. But
the only good thing is they got a third place play final.
Yeah. Yeah, but no one cares about that. Are you going to be watching?
Well, yes, they do. Because they say, we still want to win it.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. It'd be funny to
see. And also, our FIFA rankings will go up because we are ranked 16th.
Okay. So yeah, but what does that mean?
Our rankings will go up. It means when we get seeded in the next tournament, we should have crapper teams in our group.
We couldn't have done any crapper this time, though, could we? Let's be honest. Yeah, Paraguay, Tunisia. Anyway, it's done. It's not a football podcast. It's a running podcast. And we're talking...
No, it's a ranting podcast.
Ranting podcast. Did you watch the... were you driving the bus on Wednesday? Or were you watching?
I was, but it was funny. So I was driving past and every bar was like... There's people just pouring out of the bars, like queuing, you know, like to get in.
Yeah.
And my bus stand is near a pub, so I went there and I was like peeking in. And I saw the last 10 minutes of the first half, and then when I got back to the garage, it was extra time. I saw the last extra, and then obviously they scored an extra time.
Yeah. Jesus.
We lost our bets. We lost our bets. Suarez out.
Yeah. Spain out. My wife had my wife had a fiver on England, and that was looking a better and better bet, but that's gone. Yeah.
I've got one bet left. I've got Griezmann as top goal scorer, but he needs to score 4 in the final.
That ain't going to happen.
No way.
Oh, God. Never mind. But hey. What has work otherwise been good?
Work's been all right. Nothing too crazy.
No.
Basically, this old guy, he's a homeless. He got on my bus.
Yeah.
And obviously... It's like, oh, I'll come back, I'll check my pass. But obviously, I know he ain't got a pass because most of the drivers recognise him.
Yeah.
So he obviously got on the bus, I just carried on driving, just ignored him, yeah?
Yeah.
And then revenue, like, ticket inspector's gone.
Yeah.
He started checking everyone's pass and they asked for his pass. He ain't got one.
Yeah.
And then they started trying to write him out a fine.
Oh, no.
All the other passengers just switched.
Really?
They were like moaning at the revenue, started shouting. And then the revenue, when the bus is not stopped at a stop, you know those little buttons above the door?
Yeah, yeah.
To let yourself out?
Yeah.
He just pressed that and just got off the bus.
He jumped out.
He just took the emergency exit off the bus, boy. Yeah. I was like, damn. So yeah, basically the passengers turned on the ticket man because he was trying to give his homeless man a fine.
I like that. English spirit, yeah. Yeah, we don't mind an underdog, do we? Really, we don't mind that.
We love the underdog.
Yeah, up yours to George Osborne. He tried to demonise all the benefits, challenges, and stuff.
Oh, I you sound like George. A Labour. You Labour? You sound like Labour.
Man, if I could just have one punch on George Osborne and go to jail. How long would I go to jail for? Or maybe Cameron. I'd like to do more. Anyway, we're not political on this show, other than the fact I hate Boris Johnson. Yeah. Anyway. But this podcast is supposed to be about the Project 220, my attempt to run 220 in Frankfurt.
And how is that going?
It's going well, yeah. If you listen to the last episode with Nate Jenkins, he kind of laid out what I would be doing in training. And I've now had about a week and a half, almost 2 weeks, at this new type of training that I'm doing. And it's been fun. I did a really hard session last Thursday. I was in London, so I did it in Battersea Park before the JP Morgan race, which I was over for. because I organise work run clubs for a couple of the companies that are doing it. So I was there doing that, and I did, it was 20K, where you're alternating a K at 3:20, which is going to be my marathon pace on the day, and 3:40. And I got to about 5, and the recovery was getting slower, so I was dropping off there. It was a really hot day, though, so I can give myself some credit. And I carried on. I got to 8, but the 7th and 8th one, do you know what? I was hanging. And the 8th one was like, yeah, nowhere near pace. But I'm pleased enough. I was close to getting it worked good. So that was good.
Okay.
Yeah, and I did another one. Karen?
You can't give yourself credit just because the weather's hot.
Yeah, I suppose so. I want to look for the positives. Basically, I bombed. But
did you do it around the park or on the track?
Around the park. I was really scared, to be quite honest with you. I was scared about it, and I thought, because on your own, I don't mind doing it in a pack, because basically you let someone do the pacing, or you muck in together, and it's easy. But I was scared about this, so I went down to use the track, but it had a kids' sports day on there, and I thought, do you know what? I can't start running around this sports day. Oh, I don't think even I was allowed to get on there, but I had to do it around the edge of the park. There is a route there. Some of the guys that do a regular Thursday session will know you do a K round, starting at the track all the way around the outside to the cut across, which is through the middle, and then that.
But the problem with the park, like, there's a massive camber.
Yeah, there is a bit. Yeah, yeah. I was just trying to run the quickest line basically as I possibly could, but I think it was around. I think I was pretty much bang on what I needed to do. But this weekend's gonna be big. I'm doing a similar session. I'm doing 8 times 2K. Again, I'm looking for 3:20 per K, so 6:40 per 2K, with a K in between each float. So the float's supposed to be about 4 minute Ks.
Which is, so is the float your recovery?
That's the recovery. So in total, what's that? So it's 16K running and 8Ks of 4K.
So, and how fast is the 1K in between the 2Ks?
4 minute K pace.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And the principle is I'm going to be getting more and more efficient at this marathon pace, this 3:20 Ks.
Doing that, you know, did you get your heart rate up? And then when you actually don't stop, you run in medium to slow pace, you still keep your heart rate up.
Yeah.
So it's almost like you're continuously doing the session.
Yeah.
But you're not resting.
Yeah. And Nate talked a lot about how what the principle of the training is about, and it's really interesting. So I'll go back and have a listen to that if you can. But tough sessions. And also, I've been doing some longer runs. Like, I did a longer run on Monday. We've moved it to Monday because I've got a friend, Zach, who lives out here, American guy, and we're doing long runs together because he has Mondays off. So I did 25K.
It's your long run.
Yeah, 25K this week. Okay. Just gone, and I ran sort of 3:50s, and I was buzzing on that, because what I like to do is I listen to podcasts on the first half, so I'm just like chilling out, trying to, and then I put on this is a bit strange, but I'm big into Wiley, you know, like the rapper Wiley, and then they put Wiley on for the last last half an hour, and it just gets me real buzzing. And I was running 3:30s in the last section when I was supposed to
make sure you don't shank anyway. Yeah,
yeah, that was real fun. I wonder if I should get Wiley on the podcast and tell him that he's my inspiration, that he's my running inspiration.
That'd be hyped. I'd be like, UK athlete running for the back street. I'd be like, ooh.
So yeah, it's good. I'm really pleased how it's going. It's the He told me, one thing he mentioned to me is make sure your recoveries are slow. So he said, if you want to run 6 minute Ks, which is like 9 minute miles, do it. And I find that hard, but I've been going slow on my recoveries, like 5:30 Ks, 8.5 to nearly 9 minute miles. But it's nice. It's I think
this is recovery runs. You're talking about.
Recovery runs, yeah. So this morning I did sort of half an hour, nice and relaxed. I've got a 50 minute tonight before my big session tomorrow, 50 minutes steady. But yeah, it's a lot more, like I was running a lot like at 4 minute Ks before, and now I'm doing I'm just concentrating on those big sessions and getting the most out of them. So a lot more recovery stuff, which I'm enjoying. And I've got to make a confession that I'm supposed to be doing the a core routine, because I've been traveling around a lot. I've been in Ireland and I've been in London. I haven't started the core stuff yet. So sorry, Nate, I'll be on that next week. So, yeah.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
We don't want to see Potbelly. Potbelly Sean. We don't want to see Potbelly Sean.
Yeah. I'll tell you, the weight's dropping off. So, yeah, that Potbelly's not going to be there, but it's just going to be skin and bones and no abs, unfortunately, for me. But I did have a funny run in Ireland where I chased down some. I was just running on this, like, near this peat bog. It's a really quiet place, like near Donegal. And I don't know who let him out, but there's loads of cows, like, in the middle of the road. And then I started running towards them, and the cows went apeshit. And I was I couldn't get past the cows, and they were running away from me every time I got close. And then this farmer guy came up, and I'm not going to pretend to do an Irish accent, but I had to then go and help him put his cows back in the field. So that was that was quite a funny thing. I ran half of it with a dog, and half of it chasing cows around the field. That was my 90-minute run. But yeah, it's good. It's all going well. And for this week's show, we've actually managed to get I thought it would be good to talk to someone who has done Frankfurt, give me a bit of advice on what it's going to be like, but also someone who I'm going to be competing, or near. I bet he'll be a couple of minutes down the road from me. He's going for 2:15, I think, or around that time. But Aaron Scott, England international, he is going to be representing England in that race. There's an England team running also in Frankfurt. And we're going to speak to him in a minute about how his training's going and some advice from me about the course. So here he goes. Today we're speaking to England international marathon runner Aaron Scott. How are you doing, Aaron?
Yeah, good. Not too bad.
Good. And basically, it's good to have you on because you are also running Frankfurt Marathon this year. How's the training going so far?
Yeah, it's not been too bad so far. We're 16 weeks out now, so yeah. The hard work pretty much starts now. I listened to your show the other weekend, so yeah, it's nice to know there's a few upper boys doing it. But
yeah.
Building up to that 10-12 week block, so got a few weeks of mileage yet, and then we'll get into the really hard stuff.
So is it quite easy at the moment? You're not doing too much quality work?
Yeah, I've eased off some of the quality work. I intended to have a bit of a track season, but I had a few issues with my iron and other sort of blood levels, so I've had to ease off some of that really hard stuff and just really try and get fit and just do some sort of easy running and fartlet type sessions.
Nice. Are you going to race anything in the next few weeks in the lead up, or are you just going to concentrate now on getting yourself ready?
Possibly. I had a few races planned in before the big block of, you know, the big 12-week block. I seem to see how I feel, because if anyone's seen my recent record of late, I've not finished too many races. So, and that's mainly because I just feel terrible after like 10 minutes of hard running. So.
Yeah.
If some of the sessions sort of signal that I'm back on it, which the one last night did, then I might have a cheeky look at a 5 or a 10K on the track before, you know, the big block starts.
So you've done some tests and stuff, and like for...
Yeah. So I have my blood taken quite a lot because I've had history of low ferritin. So I always try and keep an eye on it. But recently my hematocrit, which is like another signal of how you carry up oxygen, was really low, so just been back on the iron tablets and trying to somehow get those levels back up. I had an iron injection in March, and it helped before the marathon, but they're quite costly, so you can't do those every couple of weeks, so I've just got to try and manage it with nutrition and supplementation at the moment.
Yeah. And do you have someone looking after nutrition? Have you got someone to help you out with that?
I've had advice from people, so I had a chat with Alan Murchison last year about nutrition, and he's fairly, I think he looks after Butcher and a few other people.
Yeah.
And he gave me some advice on the right types of things to be eating, more timings before racing, and getting that nutrition plan for the race sorted.
Yeah.
And then in terms of tests, I mean, luckily I have a fairly good GP who's quite clued up. He used to look after the Olympic rowing team and things he fairly knows sports science quite well.
Yeah,
just try and get advice from where I can. But yeah, no actual nutritionist looking after me at the moment.
No, okay. And in terms of your training for the marathon, you said like the specific 12-week block. Do you know what that's going to look like in advance? Do you have it set out in front of you?
So I like to try and plan it out myself so I can see it on the computer. So I look back at what I've done in previous years and I'd have a rough idea of what the big session is going to be in that 10-week block.
Yeah.
Nick, who coaches him, Nick Anderson, however, doesn't like me doing that really. So he sends me my training usually 2 weeks in advance.
Okay.
And then when we're getting to the big sort of 4-3 weeks out, it's often left to, I WhatsApp him daily and we sort of see how I'm feeling to what we do that day. So it's quite, he likes me to not think too far ahead, because I suppose the danger of planning it all out is you don't know what you're going to feel like, you know, 5 weeks from now. So planning a session for a Thursday night in 5 weeks time, it looks great on paper, but when you come to it, it can be completely different. So I think you've got to be flexible, and that's probably one of the biggest things I've learned with marathon training, is you just need to be able to be flexible with your training. If you don't feel on it one night, just stop, and then, you know, maybe go again the next night or a couple of days afterwards. I don't think it's the same as, you know, training for a 1500 or a 3K where you can, you know, knock out a couple of hard sessions and be good to go.
Yeah.
You sort of need that block of training well, running those sessions at sort of 90-95%.
Yeah.
And if you string those together for a number of weeks, you're going to be in great shape.
Yeah. And I was interested with Nate talking about the training, and it seemed to be more like the most important things are these key sessions, these key building blocks, not, like you say, not doing them absolutely flat out, but just getting through these big sessions and making sure you recover for them. And is your training similar to that?
I mean, I've always been quite high mileage, as probably most people know. I used to do more, in fact. Before Nick coached me, I was getting up to 130, 140 miles a week, and still getting some quality in. But I never raced that well over the marathon off it. I could run a great half marathon, and I just couldn't. I seemed to just struggle in that last 8-6 miles. So the one thing we've changed really is doing a lot more long running at harder paces. So a lot of that Canova type stuff where you're doing 4-5 by 5K off a K float.
Yeah.
So you're getting a good 20, 22, 24 mile run done.
Yeah.
And you're averaging, like, I don't know, 5:40, 5:45. For a 24 mile run.
Yeah.
And you're getting 25K of marathon pace stuff done. So I think they've really helped. But I'll tend to do, when I'm really in a big block of training, a big marathon pace type session, probably on a Tuesday, Wednesday.
Yeah.
And then I won't do another session till the Saturday, Sunday. So it's usually just two key sessions a week. And making sure you're properly recovering afterwards.
Yeah. What about sort of the strength and conditioning stuff? Do you do a lot of that?
I started to. I think it really makes a big difference. Doing 2 or 3 core sessions a week and maybe some sort of general conditioning stuff in the gym. For me, it's sometimes finding the time. If I was a full-time athlete, I'd love to do it. Plan it in twice a week or whatever. But when you're working and trying to maintain relationships with people and your family and seeing people, it's not always the type. So I probably should drop a running session somewhere and do more of it, but I'm, as like most runners, you get obsessed with just hitting the runs and getting those done.
That's what we love.
But I'm a big believer in it. It definitely makes you feel stronger. So I need to get back on it now, really.
And like you said before, when you were training differently, you struggled into the last sort of 6 or 8 miles of the marathon. And you've obviously changed the training, but do you prepare like mentally for that last 6 miles? Have you changed anything in terms of your mental preparation for that?
Not massively. I've always been okay mentally, and I don't really struggle from being motivated to finish off the last section of a marathon. I try to do a lot of those long runs on my own,
right,
just so you get used to, if in a race you happen to need to be, you know, drop off the pace or go ahead of the pace, you're used to running on your own, because as you know, in a marathon there can be long spells where you're just running solo, you know, trying to churn out those splits. So I've got used to doing a lot of 24 mile long runs on my own, and that's probably the only thing I've changed. Whereas in the past, I'd often do those tempo sessions with a group, and it is a lot easier when you're with people because you can just switch off and just follow them.
Yeah, but it doesn't prepare you for that challenge.
Yeah, doing stuff on your own, it does mentally challenge you and keeps you focused.
Yeah. Do you have any like tactics for if your head does start to wander in training or in the race? Like, do you have any tactics for getting your focus back on your effort and your running?
I try to talk to myself more than anything. The motivation of the fact that you're not going to have to train for 2 weeks if you can finish that marathon. It's usually the biggest goal for me. You know, I can have 2 weeks off running, which is nice. So it's always a disappointment when you go into a marathon. Or I've had a couple of times where I've not finished them.
Yeah.
You're like, oh,
yeah,
I've got to get back into training next week. Whereas I plan to have like a nice 2 weeks rest.
Yeah.
But yeah, just I try to talk, you know, you're not going to need your legs for a few days after the marathon, so you might as well trash them to pieces when you can. So I try and talk to you. Yeah, self-talk is the main thing for me. And that's my main sort of... I like people, actually. I like people telling me, like, the opposite of what most people like telling. So I like a bit of Neil Warnock-type management where your coach or people who are supporting you get in your face and tell you...
Pull yourself together.
I'll tell you it straight. I like people swearing at me and telling me, you know, I look terrible because that motivates me to do better.
Okay. You know? All right.
I like being able to prove people wrong. So yeah, I try. If anyone's out there watching me, I'd rather them, you know, shout some obscenities at me rather than, oh, you look great.
Yeah.
Oh, only 6 miles to go. Oh, you look fantastic. When you know yourself, you don't look fantastic. You look terrible.
Yeah.
So tell me how it is.
Yeah. and with your kind of also in your training, when you're doing these long runs, do you practice your fueling strategy on those runs? Do you take a gel with you when you're doing these 4x5Ks, etc.?
Yeah. So I try and take the same amount of gels as I take out for marathon race day, really. So it's often trying to take gels or... I try and take a gel every 8K-ish, you know, 5 to 10K.
Yeah.
So on most of those feed stations, every 5K, I have my fluid and a gel, but I might not take that gel at every station. So okay. I'll probably take 4 gels out on a long run and try and use them in the recovery sections because I think that's the hardest thing is taking gels running at your race pace.
Yeah.
And I probably should practice that more because I often take the gels when you're running easier.
Yeah.
And it doesn't replicate what you do in a race because it can take it out of you a bit when you're on race day and you're trying to take down, I don't know, 150 mil of fluid and trying to take a gel, you know, it really can stop your momentum.
Yeah. I definitely put one in my eye in London one year, which is pretty embarrassing, but.
Yeah, I think the benefit of somewhere like London is you get this water available like every mile.
Yeah.
And I think some of the, you know, often when we have a group of lads together, we're quite good at passing around the drinks. So you can always, you always know there's something. Whereas somewhere like Frankfurt, where you've only got your bottles out every 5K.
Right.
You sort of need to focus on taking those.
Yeah. Okay.
Because they have some weird drinks out on for normal, you know, like the normal feed stations. There's some weird and like wonderful stuff they have in those cups.
Okay.
And that's the other thing. They often have cups instead of bottles, so.
Which is hard work.
You can't take. Yeah, they have like this flat. I think like flat Coke and flat orange stuff. Yeah, some weird. So, I'd rather not take any of that and just have my tried and trusted.
Yeah.
Fluid, really.
Yeah. And I was going to ask about Frankfurt. What's, you've done it once before?
I finished it once. Okay. I went 2 years ago. Yeah, 2 years ago. I was in great shape, probably PB shape, really.
Yeah.
So that was the autumn before I ran 2:17. So I think I was probably in, similar shape or quicker.
Yeah.
And yeah, I got some sort of bug on the morning of the race. So I went down to breakfast, went to have my normal porridge and coffee and things. I couldn't even stomach like a sip of coffee.
Really?
I couldn't have anything. I couldn't drink, I couldn't eat. So I tried to trick myself into thinking I could, you know, still finish it. I got to halfway. I ran halfway at 68 minutes. So somehow I managed 68 minutes off nothing. And then it really hit me. So I just had to pull out. But yeah, I did my debut there in 2013.
Yeah.
And was probably a bit too, I got carried away with, I went into that 2013 marathon off the back of, you know, some good half marathons, some good 10Ks. I was running quick on the track. And a few days before, I just made myself believe that I could, instead of like going there to run sub 220, which would have been a great debut.
Yeah.
I started thinking, oh, I can run 215, 216 there. Gee. Straight away.
Yeah.
So I went off on pace and yeah, that last 10K of my debut was horrific. I don't even know how I finished, but yeah, somehow.
Yeah.
I think I ran 2:22 and just outkicked the lead ladies. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah.
And what's it like in terms of a race? Is there quite a big pack there? Are you with a lot of other runners?
Yeah. So a couple of years ago, there was a good group of, there was a lot of domestic Germans, Italians, and even a couple of Brits. There's always a good group between, you know, really at sort of 2:15 to 2:20.
Yeah.
Which is perfect for me, really, to try and run, yeah, say 2:14, 2:15.
Yeah.
So there's great groups to run with, and there's quite a few in there. But I suppose with Frankfurt, it's all quite flat and quite boring.
Right.
Okay. So the splits all quite, whereas at London, as you know, that first 10K can be quite quick.
Yeah.
And you can get sort of ahead of time.
Yeah.
I suppose Frankfurt, because it's all fairly flat, the first 10K is actually quite twisty and turny.
Right.
You're probably going to be down on time for that first 10K.
Yeah.
And then look to pick up later in the race, which is quite different to London, where you're usually getting slower.
Yeah.
So I think when Dowie did it a couple of years ago or last year, you know, he was fairly consistent, you know, through that 40K. So yeah, it's a different way of running it, and you've got to get used to churning out the same splits, I suppose.
Okay. And in terms of the atmosphere, is it quite well, do they come out and cheer everyone in?
It is in the city, so you do like I think it's like an 8-10K loop in the city centre.
Yeah.
Then you go out. And there's a far point where you turn back on yourself. Yeah. I think it's between like 20 and around 25K. You're running on like a motorway back into the city.
Hmm.
And that can be quite, there's no one there really.
Yeah.
So
okay.
That's when you've got to be switched on and really sort of dial into your pace.
Yeah.
And then you get back into the city for the last 8-10K. And again, the support's great.
Yeah.
And you have that nice little finish where you go into the indoor dome.
Yeah,
I saw turn that. Left and you finish indoors. That's quite a nice experience. So
yeah,
so that's when I was coming down that finishing straight. You turn left into the building in 2013. All the photographers started coming out, and I was like, they're not coming out for me. So I have a look behind me, and I see the lead lady absolutely sprinting, catching me up. So I found a sprint from somewhere, and then they managed to push me to the side and, you know, do the finishing tape for her. But it's a great finish.
Yeah, good. And then in terms of sort of training, then I guess you just churning out the miles is the trick, isn't it? Because it's just flat, fast, and pretty boring.
Yeah, yeah. Just lots of those marathon pace sessions that, you know, Nate was saying the other week, I think are perfect for it, really. So
yeah,
loads of 5K, 4K, 3K reps.
Yeah,
and just getting used to that marathon pace on tired legs, really.
Yeah. And you're going to be part of the England team there. Is there kind of any special arrangements? Are you guys going over there a few days beforehand? Who is the team actually? Who's alongside you in that race?
So it's me, Matt Sharp, who finished a second ahead of me in at London in 2017.
Oh, wow. The rematch.
I caught him up on the mall. And I think it was the worst sprint finish anyone's ever seen, because I got on his shoulder and we sort of both looked at each other, went to both like kick,
yeah,
and neither of us had anything at all, so he managed to get me. But yeah, we'll see what happens. So Matt Sharp and then Steve Baton. So
oh yeah, nice.
He's I think he's going to, you know, knock a PB out soon. He's been running really well over cross country and, you know, those sort of, if you look at his training, he does a lot of that similar high mileage, long session stuff. So,
yeah,
it should be a good group of us. We're all fairly similar, I think. Matt Sharp probably being the quickest over half.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. I think he spent a long time out in Ethiopia. Because I remember talking to a few guys out there and they said, you know Matt Sharp? And I was like, no, I know of him. But yeah. And he was there was a guy that was like his guide in Ethiopia who I went for a drink with, and he was a really nice guy. So yeah, I don't know Matt, but I know of him, sort of thing. So
I don't know him either personally, but I know he went out hard at that London Marathon. So I imagine he's looking for a time of 2:12 to 2:14. So
yeah,
I'm sure he's in great shape. But it's nice. It's nice that England, me and Nick have spoke about it for a number of years. They've always had the Toronto trip, which is great.
Yeah.
But it's not a fast course. It's a long way to travel.
Yeah.
You've got to, you know, get over jet lag and different environment. It can be cold. So there's loads of factors that can influence your actual time.
Yeah.
So we've always said, you know, if we could have one on European soil, you know, Berlin or Frankfurt. So it's great they've finally done it. And yeah, I don't really know the plans. I'd usually go out there on the Thursday. So hopefully we do the same. And the organisers at Frankfurt are like fantastic at putting you up. So
yeah,
it's a good place to have an England team.
Yeah, excellent. I remember a couple of years ago, you could probably make the England marathon team with about 2:22, 2:23.
Yes.
It's really, the standard is going up, isn't it? In general, we're getting faster and faster.
I mean, even if you look at the England team has changed no end. Mm. You've got to, you know, really run 2:15, 2:16 to sort of be certain of a selection. But also the GB team, when you think of London 2012 and Dave Webb went and he'd ran, was it 2:13, 2:12, 2:13? I think it was 2:13. He went off a top 20 at a world champ selection. And
Yeah,
Lee Merriam and Scott Overall were sort of 2:11, 2:12. Yeah. And now you're thinking, well, if you've got Hawkins who's looking to run 2:09, Dowie looking to run 2:09, then others now are getting involved thinking they can run 2:10.
Yeah.
All of a sudden to make the Olympic team, you're going to have to run 2:10, really.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's great. The standards have really, really improved in the last 5-6 years. And it's good because we've finally got some British competition in it. And it does show that we probably shouldn't be looking at just breaking 2:20, you know.
Yeah.
Let's look at running 2:12, 2:11, 2:10.
Yeah.
And Callum and Dowie have sort of proved you can do it. You don't have to be on drugs to run 2:09. No. So, yeah.
I thought about
a few of us kick up the backside to run a bit quicker.
Yeah, excellent. Well, I've got three questions more to ask you, and then the questions we ask everybody. So I can't remember if you remember them, but the first one is, if you could be anywhere, I know you're at work right now, but if you could be anywhere running now, where would that be?
Probably Villamora. I try to go to Villamora most years.
Ah.
And I love training in Villamora because you've got the trail from Villamora Marina to the cross country course. You've got the cross country course there.
Yeah.
And you've got like three tracks in a small little town. So yeah, it's perfect. I love Villamora.
And it's cheap, isn't it, Portugal?
It's dirt cheap. Yeah. Flight out there for £100.
Yeah.
Yeah. Accommodation can be cheap if you all chip in together. So
yeah.
And it's always sunny.
So. Oh, nice. Fantastic. Second question is, can you recommend us something? It could be anything you want. It could be book, podcast, anything you like.
Podcast. I mean, I listen to Marathon Talk.
Yeah.
Quite a lot. You know, they tend to have some good interviews on there with like people you wouldn't even think about listening to. So
yeah,
you get quite a good overall feel for marathon running, from, you know, learning about sleep to nutrition to, you know, training. Martin Yelling was a, you know, great 1500 to 10K runner. So he does know what he's talking about. So they're really good.
Yeah, excellent. And the final question is, in your opinion, what's been the greatest endurance performance of all time?
I think a few people have said it. For me, it's Paula's 2:15.
Yeah.
Because not, I mean, from my personal point of view, I have not ran 2:15 yet.
Yeah.
So I know how hard that is.
Yeah.
And I've ran quicker than Paul over all the shorter distances.
Yeah.
Yet not got close to 2:15. So it's unbelievable that somebody, you know, even a female can run that fast.
Yeah.
And those split, when you look at those splits and she's knocking out like a 5:02 at, was it 5:02 at like mile 23, 24 at London? It's insane. So I don't think you can beat that, really.
No. And it's amazing that you do these runners world calculators and stuff. And if you put in, even if you put like she didn't break 30 for 10K, did she? She probably was over. And if you, like, you know, 29 whatever, well, the equivalent is like 2:18 or whatever. So she's running, she hasn't even broke 30. She's, her top speed isn't that high, and yet she can just churn out those 10K kind of splits in nearly close to her PB time. It's unbelievable, really.
Yeah, especially when you look at people who've tried, you know, Mary Kitani and all those other African girls who have tried recently.
Yeah.
You know, they've been running, what, 64, 65 for halves.
Yeah.
And Paula wasn't even doing that. And they still can't do it. So, yeah, it's incredible.
Excellent. Well, nice one. I'll let you get back to work. But thanks a lot for chatting, Aaron.
Cheers.
And we'll have to see each other before the race. Perhaps we'll try and get a session together before the big Frankfurt run. If I'm up in the air.
Yeah, we'll have a big session afterwards.
That sounds best. Yeah. Sounds more enjoyable. Yeah, nice one.
Cheers.
Perfect.
Cheers, Sean.
So some nice advice there from Aaron. Looks like it's going to be quite a challenge. It'll be a lot about just kind of getting out there and grinding it. And it's a fairly even paced race. So that should be quite exciting.
More importantly, Sean, what's them reviews been saying?
Well, as I mentioned before, I reckon we're getting quite a lot of kudos in the grime scene, because the reviews... We got one from Swaldem. Is that like the man?
Swaldem.
One from Kano 262. Kano's giving us
Kano the rapper.
Okay, well, it says Kano on it, mate. So I'm taking that as Kano the rapper. I don't think it is. And the final one is from Lorna MC. So we are down.
Okay.
We're big on the grime scene at the moment. You know, we're going to get Wiley on.
You did say you was getting caps, so people think, okay, you've gone hood.
But I'll read them out to you now. So Swaldem from the Mandem.
Swaldem, I love that.
Swaldem says, have to give kudos to Sean and Jermaine. I've been listening to this podcast since it started, and it always mixes good banter with informative interviews with a wide range of athletes, coaches, and running specialists. Big up, Swaldem, who gives us a nice ring. And then Kano's weighing in with, I've just started listening to this over the last few weeks. Where have you been, Kano? So I'm catching up through the back catalogue. I find it to be an entertaining listen whilst providing good tips and useful information. Basically, you listen to a couple of mates at the pub talking about running and buses and are joined by someone else who is very knowledgeable in the field. I wish we were in the pub, Jermaine. I'm in my bedroom, sitting down.
You're ruining their dream.
Hang on, you are in the bus. You're back in the bus. It's lunchtime. Jermaine is in his bus. So, yeah.
On a broken bus, I'm hiding at the back of the garage.
And there's another one from Laura. Oh, it's Laura, not Lorna MC. Sorry, Lorna. Laura. She said, I've always enjoyed the Let's Get Running podcast. Informative without taking itself too seriously. And she gives a little emoji, which is with a big smile. And it says, most useful episode for me was number 27, about hydration, which is quite topical given the summer and the heat we're going through right now. So check that one out.
Yeah.
And it says, I now use SOS for all long runs and races and the odd hangover. Another emoji, but this time with the mouth. And it says, thanks, Laura. Thanks, Sean and Jermaine from Laura. So thanks, Laura MC.
Thank you.
Thanks for the grime fraternity for being involved with the Let's Get Running podcast. And yeah, any reviews, we are more than happy. We love reviews. It's really helpful. We'll try and read them out when we get them.
Are there reviews for the chafing? Any reviews for the chafing?
We're still waiting for your chafing talk, everybody. I whispered that. Let's get these chafe stories in. We're going to have the guys from...
Sean's holding his breath and he's turning blue.
Turning blue, yeah. I'm having to give my own chafing story. Perhaps I'll see how badly I chafe for my training sessions this weekend. I'll purposely go out there and try and chafe it up. But
Were you saying that? You do chafe more in more adverse weather. Yeah. So when it's really hot or really cold.
Yeah. Yeah. So hopefully, I'll be chafing up. One thing, are you a skins man? If you're on your own running, right? Are you a skins man or would you just keep a vest on?
Skins meaning topless.
Yeah.
What do you mean if I'm on my own?
Right. I have a thing, I think I wouldn't go out on my own running through the streets with my top off.
Why?
I don't know. I think it's a
roasting. It's a roasting. I'm taking my top off, regardless if there's children or old people out. I'm taking my top off.
I'm keeping my boobs under wraps. To be honest, I think if I'm in a pack on a track,
these are press ups. They won't shake around as much.
It's just whenever I see guys running through the middle of London with their top off, I think, idiot.
Why? Because there's no grass at all.
I just think, topless. You're getting that out to show off, lad. But
the only good for me at keeping your top on, it absorbs the sweat.
Yeah.
When you take it off, you sweat loads and it just drizzles down and your shorts, it feels like you've been pissed yourself.
Yeah, I'm a top on man, unless you're in a pack of runners, you're with a group of guys. It's all homoerotic, and you're down the track and you've all got your tops up, then I'm game. But otherwise, I'm keeping my vest cleanly on. So, yeah.
What if you was running down the road and someone was topless running with you? Would you go topless?
Nah, mate, I'm keeping that on. Really? Oh, maybe in a... okay, track or park. Otherwise, I'm firmly in vest. The vest was designed for the purpose of running in the heat. So bloody wear it. Anyway... we should let everyone go. But, we'll talk again next week. We've got another interview on next week. So dial in for that. Have a good week. Have a good weekend, Jermaine.
Cool. I'll see you soon.
See you later.
Bye.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. Funny thing about being fast... you end up waiting a lot. First to show up, first in line, then just waiting. Me, I rev up Chumba Casino. With over 200 social casino games, no slow lanes here. Why sit around when you can spin? Start your engine. I'm already racing. Your turn. Play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. That's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.